welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel and chapter 23. When I woke up this morning, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me, he said, be strong and very courageous. And I knew that's not just for me, that's for you. Be strong and very courageous. And on Sunday, this last Sunday, in Crawley, Kingdom Faith Crawley, the message God gave me was in this passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel 23. And I entitled it, Not About Me. And I've just been meditating, you know, when you bring a word and you continue to follow it through because you know you touch something from God, but the message goes on further. And I don't know about you, but when I bring a message, it's always about, you know, I address it in my own heart and life first. I prepare it and then I bring it. But usually, if it's a word, a substantial word, it will go on. And it carries on living in you and you get changed by it. And I thought a better title now, today, would be Having an Excellent Spirit. God wants us to have an excellent spirit. I'm just going to read this account of the three mighty men. The three amigos. And verse 13, it says here, then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines were there in Jerusalem. And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate, or by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. It's a short story. True story, it really happened. And but there's a lot of things that we can learn out of these three mighty men. It doesn't give us a great history. You can read about the 30 mighty men of David, and they were three of 30 mighty men. David called them his mighty men. And they'd been trained up by David. So they were carrying his heart. They'd been trained by David. And so what they had their own gifting, they had their own anointing, but really what they were, they joined themselves to David. And they were carrying something that God had given to David was if you like, was also given to them. And in their own rights, they became mighty men of God. Are you getting the picture? And these mighty men had already had great victories. They'd already won some battles. They had been trained by David and they'd been faithful men, loyal men, loyal to God, but also loyal to David. And they were definitely covenant keepers, these three men. And they happened to hear this conversation. And David was in a stronghold. And in the stronghold, I don't know how many were there. We read at some point there was 400 guys that were distressed, in debt. Do you remember the description? They were in debt, they were distressed, they were disappointed, they were depressed, all kinds of things. And God brought this bunch of 400 rejects, nobodies, and made them into somebodies. And under that anointing, David trained them, and they became mighty, all obviously in different degrees. And out of this group, 30 of these men became mighty men, mighty warriors. And three of the 30 are these three that we read about here. They'd obviously spent time with David. They'd been thoroughly trained. But then they'd been faithful with what God had called them to do. They'd been faithful with what God had given them to do. And in their own gifting and ability, under that grace anointing, if you like, that was upon David, they'd received. Is this making sense? And they heard David speak. And I don't believe David actually went up to the three of them and said, listen, guys, I really want you to go to the well at Bethlehem and draw the water. I believe he said this maybe even as a general statement. It was just a longing from his heart because he knew that Jerusalem belonged to God and belonged to him. He knew that the promise of God was that this is ours, this is to be ours. And in his heart, he had this. This was part of his faith. This was part of his spirit. He just longed to have the water. It wasn't just the water. It was what the water represented. And so one day he just pours out his heart. He says, I long to have the water, this water from the well of Bethlehem at the gate of Jerusalem. That was the longing of his heart. And three men picked this up. He didn't tell them. He didn't command them. Listen, you know, you guys, you've got this. Is what I command you to go down to the well of Bethlehem and get me some water. They just heard the longing of his heart. That's all. And the next thing is there's this cloud of dust, and they're gone. And these three amigos, three mighty men of David, they've disappeared. Why? Because they had the faith and the spirit that this can be done. Now we need to realize that the Philistines were a very, very powerful army. And that they had actually captured, they were encamped in Jerusalem and around the Jerusalem. They'd taken the city. And so getting drawing water from the well of Bethlehem, which is right at the gate where everything comes in, everything goes out, was not going to be an easy job. But these three men had this spirit that we can do it. They had the we can do it spirit. We can overcome. We can make it through. And it doesn't describe what happened. Doesn't say how many men they killed or if they killed any men. It just says that they broke through. It says in verse 16, the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, of the enemy, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. That's all it says. Just in one, just a couple of lines. They did it. I bet it took a little bit more than just those few lines, but they made it. They made it happen. And as I was praying and thinking about these three mighty men, I was just putting myself and ourselves really in their position. Put yourself in their position this morning. And here we are, we're in Kingdom Faith. God has put us here in the house. He's made us a part of the vision of Kingdom Faith for revival, for regeneration, to see the turning of a tide, to see the church break through, to see our nation change, to see our cities, our towns change and impacted with the gospel. That's what we're here for, isn't it? And the nations. But what God is really after, he's after some mighty men and women who carry this excellent spirit, right. who when they hear something spoken, immediately they respond, whether it's from Pastor Clive or one of the leaders or just somebody. It may be a word from God that you hear directly from God yourself, but such a word that you immediately respond. Yes. And God wants us to be responders, not reactors. Okay, he wants us to be responders, not reactors. Response is something that happens from the spirit, from your spirit. Reaction is what happens out of your soul. Reaction is what happens when you react out of something of the flesh, of self. But response is something that comes from the spirit. And these three men had already been trained to live out of response. They weren't reactors. They didn't react to what was happening around them. They responded to the depths of the Spirit. They responded to the Spirit. And therefore, when they heard David speak, they knew he wasn't just talking about something natural. They knew he was talking about something spiritual, something that needed to be possessed and taken hold of. And their response was immediate, we're going to get this water for David. Do you understand? What they did was they demonstrated, really, the kind of spirit they had in here. They didn't measure things. Sometimes we measure things. We can measure all kinds of things. And actually be quite miserly in the way that we are towards God. Does that make sense? But they had such a rich spirit. Everything was for him. Everything was given for them. And David recognized that these men had literally laid their lives down. That the blood of these men was, if you like, in the water that they got from the well of Bethlehem. And then when they brought it to him, he literally poured it on the ground as a sacrifice to God. To say thank you. And it doesn't say how much water. It doesn't say whether it's a cup, a thimble, a barrel, camel loads of it. It doesn't say. But I guess they would have brought as much as they could have managed. And when they brought this, David pours this water out, this precious water on the ground as a sacrifice to God, to thank God for these three mighty men. Because he knew that represented to David, we're going to have that well back. We're going to have the whole of Jerusalem back. Are you with me? And these three men demonstrated the tenacious faith, really, that we're going to make it, we're going to overcome, we're going to break through. And if we can do it with some water, we can do it with the whole thing. And very often God will set us, dare I say it, tests, where he'll test our hearts, he'll test our minds, he'll test our faith, he'll test us, not because He doesn't know what's going on the inside of us, but he allows us to be tested, actually to prove what we're really like, to help us to see where we're really at. It's not for God's, it's really not for God, it's for us. And in Peter it says that the testing of our faith, God says, let the testing of your faith be there. Say it's the testing of your faith so that you can prove that the faith of Jesus that you have will carry you over, will enable you to break through. It's the testing of our faith, it says in Peter there, that will bring us through. And so God allows us our faith to be tested, and we go through tests. What's that all about? It's actually so that we can actually advance, we can progress. So when we come to the big stuff, we've already taken steps of faith along the way. We've had victories along the way. These three mighty men had seen many victories up to this point. This was another great victory. It may not sound like an amazing, but it was an amazing victory, actually, what they actually did in getting this water from the enemy, because that what they did was the beginning of taking the whole of Jerusalem, was actually getting that well of water back, not just for a moment, but bring the whole thing back. And if you're going through tests, thank God for those tests. Amen. Thank God for every test, no matter how hard or difficult it is, that we all go through, because they're measured by God to you. Don't blame the devil for every test that comes. Thank God for everything that comes. If it's from the devil, then know what to do with it. You know, handle that one. But if you recognize that God has allowed this, at the very least, has allowed something to happen around my life, it's so that you can gain victory. Yes. And you can grow in your faith and have a breakthrough. Right. Amen. Amen. Having an excellent spirit is what it's about. And I just listed a few things that I mean, you'll no doubt think of some others, but if you're taking notes, you might like to make a note of this and just ask yourself about having an excellent spirit, developing an excellent spirit. Number one, I put that these men, to have an excellent spirit, you must have faith and courage. You've got to have that spirit of faith and courage. Faith is something that God gives to us. But what we do with that faith, what we do with that faith really matters. And God wants us to have that spirit of faith and courage. These men had tremendous faith. They had faith in God. They had faith in David as well, as a man of God. And they heard his heart and responded and brought this water back. That was a victory that they demonstrated. They demonstrated their faith and their courage. You know, there's two things. Faith and belief are two different things. You can have faith and do nothing with it. But if you have faith and you believe, then something will happen. So, do you get that? Yeah. You know, God spoke to me a word. I have faith. God spoke, gave me a word, tremendous word. I have faith. But unless I do something with what he's spoken to me, it remains just faith. Great. We need to have the spirit of faith upon us. God speaks to us and we have faith. But God gives us faith so that we will then do something with what God has spoken to us. Yes. And as we act and do with what God has given to us, that's called believing. That's believing is a doing word. To believe is to do. Faith is something that we receive from God. It's his word to us so that we're getting ready to do something. But the proof of your faith is what you believe. And believing is to do with doing. That's what I was told at school anyway. Believing is a doing word. You know the doing words that we were told about, the verbs? So if you believe something, you'll do something with it. These three men believed. They had faith. They heard David's heart, so they had faith. But they proved their faith by believing. They actually did something with what they heard David say. And they went to Jerusalem and they got this water back with their tenacious faith and courage. Right. How's your faith this morning? How's my faith this morning? Are we believing God? See, we're in kingdom faith. That's great. We are. We're all part of kingdom faith. But the proof of our faith in God is what we actually do. How we actually live, moment by moment, day by day, when nobody else sees us, God is watching over us, and we're living in that kind of faith where God watches us, God is with us, he is seeing us, and that's why we need to be living in faith and believing. Faith and believing, doing what God says. The second thing I've got here is they were fighters. They had a warrior spirit, and I'm not talking about being stupid or weird. But I'm just talking about taking authority. They knew how to fight their enemies. They knew what they had on the inside of them. And they were fighters. They had no fear. Or if they had fear, they knew what to do with fear. You know, we all face fear at various points and different times in our lives, but we need to know how to overcome fear,
yes.
Don't we? It's not whether you have fear come to you, it's what you do with fear that really matters. And these men had a fighting spirit and refused to give way to fear. And it's that refusal to give way to fear that will bring us into victory. God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear, but has given you the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what we have. And that will give you a fighting spirit against anything that the enemy sends against you and will enable you to really overcome. The third thing I put down here was that they were men of victory. They had a victory mentality. Victory. They didn't have a mentality of perhaps it won't work. They had a victory mentality, it will work. We will get the water that David spoke about. When David spoke those words, that was his desire. And I believe David wasn't just talking about a wish. He wanted that water. And maybe he was doing it as a test when he brought this instruction before all of the men there. But three of them responded. They didn't all respond. There are other men there that could have responded, but these three responded. And it was tremendous. And so they had a victory mentality, an overcoming mentality, a solution mentality. You know, I get very disappointed when I'm with people and they talk about the problem, but they don't have any solution. They just talk around the problem. They just talk about the need. They just talk about the negative thing that we all know is there. But what we're looking for is a solution. We're looking for the answer. We're looking for what God says. We're looking for that overcome. That's what they had. And they knew that they could do it. I don't know what plan they had. They didn't obviously just breeze in there and breeze out again. They clearly worked with this victory mentality. They must have had wisdom. They must have prayed. And then they went in to the Philistine camp and brought this water back. They obviously went with a strategy that God gave them. But you can't work out God's strategy unless you have a victory mentality. It will blow you apart if you don't have a victory mentality to start with. Galatians 2:20, number four. Galatians 2:20, the spirit of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was their mentality. So it wasn't about them. They had, bring it into a New Testament truth, it wasn't about them. They were living the denial. They were living the denial of themselves, really. They'd learn how to live for others.
Yes.
They were living the crucified life. And if we're going to have this excellent spirit, we have to live the crucified life of Galatians 2:20, that we're dead people. We're dead to ourselves, but we are alive to God. And we're learning how to deny the flesh and deny self and living in the victory of Jesus. We live by the faith of the Son of God. They were living by faith here. We're not just talking about natural things. The reason this is written in 2 Samuel is to help us to understand that these men were men of faith. And they responded to a faith word from David. And they already had this mentality, this spirit of they were living for King David. They were living for God. They were living for others. And this needs to be our spirit too. Do you agree? The fifth thing is they were team players. They were team players. There were three of them. There wasn't just one of them, a great big amigo, you know, Superman, went out on his own and brought back this water. No, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have made it. They agreed that the victory came in with the three of them going into this place. And so if we're going to have an excellent spirit, it's not about me or you, it's about us. It's about us working together, knowing who we're connected with, knowing who we're with, who's with us, knowing who God's put us to work with. And I believe that brings great victories. And perhaps we need to have greater victories, and we'll have those greater victories the more that we really are being built together in relationship, knowing who we're connected with and who's connected with us. And they had learned how to team play. They really knew how to have victory together. They'd already done it before. So getting this water perhaps wasn't such a hard job after all, because they'd already proven victory together. God had formed these three mighty men together. They were known as the three. And God wants us to know who, not to, to be an exclusive club, but we definitely need to know who we're supposed to be connected with in the Spirit and carry that excellent Spirit together in the work, in the church, and in what God's called us to do in Kingdom Faith. Then the sixth thing is knowing their leader's heart. These three men knew their leader's heart. I remember a few years ago when Pastor Colin took over the pastoral role of leading the church for about 18 months, I think. And I had the privilege of being one of the pastors here, working with him. And I found during that time of a year, 18 months, because we had not loads of time together, but we had a bit of extra time, I discovered what his real heart was. Amen. We know his heart. You spent some time with Pastor Colin, you hear him speak, but you get his heart. All of us have something of his heart this morning. That's why we're here. And we also get Pastor Clive's heart. And we really need to get to know our leaders' hearts. So that meant, you know, if I went to see somebody and somebody would bring up something and it concerned, say, Pastor Colin in some way, I knew what his heart was. I'd immediately know what the answer was. I'd know what I needed to say as representing him to somebody else. Does that make sense? And the same would be true of Clive, of Pastor Clive, is that we need to know his heart as the leader of the church here. And as we know his heart, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, we know what he believes and what his heart is. But the closer we get to knowing his heart, then the greater victories we will have. And we'll succeed in what God has called us to do as a body. So number six, knowing they knew their leader's heart. Number seven, I've spoke about it a little bit earlier, that to have an excellent spirit, we need to be responders, not reactors. You know, in leading the church over there in Crawley, we have, I can immediately tell you who's our responders and who are our reactors. And God wants to change our reactors into responders. He's been doing a great job in some of them, making them no longer reactors, but they're responders. And what is God doing in you today? Where are you on your journey with God? Are you a reactor? Do you still react to things when things go wrong? Or are you challenged? Or are you responding? Do you respond in here? You notice that Jesus, in every situation he found himself, he never reacted. He never, ever reacted. He only responded to the Spirit of God. He only responded to the Spirit, really. Every time, every situation he was in, he was moved with compassion. But the reason he was moved with compassion is he felt the Father's heart for somebody. He was never pulled this way and that way. People try to do that, but his heart was so set on doing the will of the Father. That's how we need to. That's carrying an excellent spirit. And God wants us to be that way: responders, not reactors. Number eight, to have an excellent spirit, we need to be active, not passive. It's very easy to become passive. You can hear the word. We get lots of the word here. Lots of great truths. You can drink all that stuff in. It's wonderful. And you receive revelation and all of that. But it's very easy as well to become passive. And there's one thing that will stop the life of God and stop victory, and that's becoming passive. Passive is when you park up. Passive is when you stop. Passive is when you lose your way. And God wants us to know the way that we're in and know where to go. But he wants us to be active. He wants us to be active. Not active in our own strength, not active in doing our own thing, but active in God. There's an activity in the Spirit that God has for us. And if we're going to have this excellent spirit, we have to be active. So it means that your spirit actually is being activated all day long. Whatever you're doing, whether it's washing the dishes, if you ever do that, cleaning the floor, or praying, or you know, whatever it is, that our spirit is being activated all the time. We're active. We're not allowing ourselves to become passive. That's the devil's playground. When we become passive, that's a dangerous place to be, and all kinds of things go wrong there. But God hasn't called us to be passive. He's called us to be active. And these men certainly were active. You can tell by their immediate response. And number nine, they believed. They were believers. We spoke about that just now. Not just faith, but they were believers. They believed. They did what David had spoken. They obeyed. They were believed. They put their faith into action. They were believers. Number 10, I didn't know quite how to put this, but these three mighty men, they were an extension of David. Yeah? They were an extension of David. They were part of David. They were part of the church, if you like, that was around David. They were part of him. They were an extension of him. Does that make sense? And so therefore, they were living out, or they, their faith, their what they did, their courage and everything was connected with David. And there was a grace that David had that was upon his life that actually came upon them. That's why they had victory. It wasn't just because they were great men. It was because they were mighty men of David. They were connected with David. So there was something of connection there. And, you know, the Apostle Paul speaks in the New Testament about imparting grace. He wants the church to receive some of the grace that he has. Why? So that the church can grow in its victory, can grow in stature. And so there's a grace impartation. And God wants us, if we're going to have an excellent spirit, we need to have an imparted grace. There's a grace here in Kingdom Faith. There's a grace that comes upon Pastor Clive in his leadership, upon Pastor Colin in his apostolic leadership. There's a grace there. There's a grace there that we receive. We receive grace from God directly, but we also receive a ministry grace that comes to us. Does that make sense? And so to carry an excellent spirit, when we go out into town, I don't just go out into town on my own. I go part of this grace that's upon us in Kingdom Faith. If I go and speak somewhere else, in another place, we carry that grace there. There's a grace there. It's an extension of the leadership. It's a grace that God gives. These three mighty men were an extension of their leader's heart. Number 11, it's the same thing really, just said another way, but apostolic grace. There was an apostolic grace of their leader that was upon them. Apostolic grace of their leader that was upon them. It is connected. And then the last one, you're going to love this one, number 12, to have an excellent spirit, we have to lay down our life for others. Number 12, we have to lay down our life for others. These men literally laid their life down for David. They could have been killed. They certainly went into a situation that was extremely dangerous. But because they carried the spirit of faith and all of these other things in their spirit, they had great victory. And they knew what it was to lay their lives down. In Kingdom Faith, as part of the body here, we constantly need to lay our lives down. We hear that this is a regular message, but we need to remind ourselves, my life is not my own. Just say that with me. My life is not my own. Just say it again. My life is not my own. Okay, it belongs to Jesus. It's been bought with blood, his precious blood. And so my life isn't my own. Your life isn't your own. It belongs to him. And we're here to lay down our life for others. When we lay down our life, victory comes. When we lay down our life, that's where we find our life. We find our true life. And this is what God has for us. Carrying an excellent spirit is what God wants to enable.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.